I was sitting there listening to Brother Meekum preach, and I thought, Lord, I wish you had 10,000 people listening to what he's got to say. Then I said, Lord, I wish the whole English world could hear him. And then I said, Lord, I wish his interpreters and everybody could hear him. That's the Lord. That was wonderful. It really was. It's Holy Ghost anointed, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And very good, very good. Well, let's see if we can get a little farther tonight than we did yesterday. I'm not too sharp. I don't think. I went home. I thought it was all right, but then Brother Kelsey Blinds called me, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden I realized I told him the same thing twice. So I thought, well, that don't go very good. So then I was talking to Brother David Horton later, and I realized I told him the same thing twice. So I don't know how we're going to get along today. We'll just do the best we can. But we have had good preaching today. I mean, that was just good. It was nothing but good. Thank you for the offering. And thank you for your prayers. A lot of people praying for me. And I appreciate that. I needed it. I'm telling you for sure. I was pretty well under the weather. But I think it was just because of the fact that I had friends that liked me and they fixed me too big a salad. They kept fixing them bigger and bigger, and I felt like I had to eat all of it. I couldn't waste any of it. I don't think I made a wise decision there. Anyway, yesterday, well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We appreciate what we've heard this morning. We appreciate the spirit we felt. God, I don't know how that I could add anything to that, Lord, to help someone to seek your face and be saved, someone to get closer to you, Lord, and not lose out with you. I don't know how to do anything like that, but if you would just help us a little while, Lord, and give us grace and anointing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'll probably repeat myself, but I said yesterday, I don't know if I made it clear or not, but I said that as far as the world is concerned, we're in bad shape, you know, because I believe, just like I said, Mr. Lennon said, the way that he felt like to destroy his opposition was get control of the leadership in the opposition, and that's the way they worked here. I'm not going to go back over that, but you got those that are crying racist. I think if you looked, you'd see at the head of that there's a socialist, communist, a leader there. Climate change, it started by a good man, but it was took over then by the socialist, communist. And that's, you know, everything that's going right now is being backed by them. And if they ever get control, there'd be a lot of things they've backed will come to a screeching halt. But they don't know that. But at the same time, I mentioned the fact that while this is going on, the church is going the same way. The leaderships of our schools, our Bible schools, are mainly by liberals, you know. And I told you yesterday about, I don't know this, but I told you about a man that I heard defending the King James Bible, and he said that they are making a Bible now. They have made a Bible, the 1970 edition American Standard Version, I think he said, that they've taken the word hell out of it. It's not in the Old Testament, New Testament. But they're also going to bring a Bible out that will be compatible to the feelings of the Buddhists, the Muslims, and whatever you call Christianity. It's going to remove Jesus as being anything except just a man like Peter, James, and John, and they're going to just portray it that way. You know, there's some strong words in the book of Revelation about taking away or adding to. So all of that's going on. And on top of that, you know, in our little town up there, just about 11,000 people, Brother Judd Ingram said he was up there the other day and is marching, hollering, "It's my body, it's my body." You know, the homosexuals letting us know that it's their body. They can do what they want to with it. Amen? And, of course, then you have the ones that are hollering, it's the woman's choice. Now they're in trouble because the transgenders, they tell me they're getting men where they can have children. They're hollering, "It's not your choice. We got a choice, too." So, big confusing, you know. It's big confusing to me. Just, you know, yeah, it's crazy. That's exactly right. But we look at all this going on, you know, and it's kind of discouraging, really, when you think about it. Just the other day, I was thinking about a woman that when she was a little girl, she attended church I pastored. When she was a teenager, she attended church I pastored. She married and had 2 children. And then she left that husband and got her another female companion. And I was her pastor at one time. And then I was pastoring her daughter. And her daughter stood against that. And I warned her that this is a spirit. It's not dealing with something like adultery, which is just uncontrolled natural passion. Amen. But it's a spirit. There's spirits in that. But the daughter evidently didn't listen to me because she left her husband and got her another companion, had 4 children. And so, and there are people that I love. There are people I care a lot about. So, but just the other day, this one woman was found sitting on an empty car lot, or empty lot down there, not a car lot, empty lot. She sat down there, window down, radio on. And I don't know what happened. She died. But you know what makes it sad to me is I remember the last time she came to church, and she came with her companion, her female companion. And I remember that day. I didn't know they was coming. But I preached, "You may get by, but you may not. You won't get away." That was my message the last time I remember preaching to her. "You may get by, but you won't get away." And I'll tell you, that's what. So, in looking at that, I want to go back to where I was at, where Paul was writing there in the 6th chapter of Corinthians. And it seemed like Corinthians had a lot of problems, didn't they? You know, he starts out there in that first part of the chapter there, talking about, "Therein, if you have a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, not before the saints." So right away introduces the fact that there was people in that church that liked to sue other people. And they liked to go before unjust judges because they could be bribed or something and they'd get their way. And I'm not going to stay with that a lot, but he just talked about the saints to judge the world. And then he said, you know, he said about that, said, "If you then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them in to judge her least esteem in the church." In other words, you mean you're going to get somebody to judge that you don't think anything of? You don't have no respect for them because they're unjust judge, and you know they are. You just use them because you can get your way. That's the way I look at it. I don't know how you look at it, but that's how I look at it. But anyway, he went on down, and that word unjust in the 9th verse, this is where I read this. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous," that the same word is translated unjust. In other words, he's saying, you that are using, really that's who he's dealing with, you that are doing this, I want you to know if you use an unrighteous judge because you know he can bribe him, get your way, and you can win a suit against your brother, you'll be just as guilty as he is. That's the way I look at it. You look at it. But anyway, said, "Know you not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abuse themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you." You know, when I read that, and I thought about, here it said, the effeminate. You may remember in those days, what I read, and I'm not going to wear you out with this, but what I read, especially among the Greeks, and then it got into the Romans, homosexuality was just an accepted alternate lifestyle. The philosophers, teachers, various ones, Nobody thought anything about it. But right in the middle of all this, which is kind of like where we're at right now, Paul went in there and got those people saved. Can you imagine that? You know, that effeminate, you know, the Bible said, Jesus said, they that wear soft clothing, or soft raiment, I'm sorry. Well, soft is the same word translated feminine here, except he was talking about a large soft robe that the kings and their children wore. But here, Paul's talking about those boys that are nice looking. They've been trained and they wear those soft clothes that give them a female acceptance or attraction to the men, the males. And so homosexual is rife in there. But what I want you to know is the fact that in spite of all of it, Paul got people saved. Hallelujah. How would you like to get up and say, you say, somebody say, well, who all goes to your church? Well, I've got one man in there, all he wants to do is sue everybody. Amen. He bribes the judges, and he's breaking poor John up. Amen. He sued him 2 or 3 times already. I got him there. Amen. But I've also got another man there that did the same thing, but I got him saved. He's doing right. This other just ain't prayed through about it. I don't guess. But anyway, and then he said, I've got, not only that, I've got fornicators. I've got idolaters. I've got adulterers. I've got, amen, the Kadmonites and the Sodomites and the thieves. And he always put these, you know, we don't think anything about a person being covetous. We don't really think anything about that. But Paul always puts them in a bad light. He don't really give them much slack. Covetous, amen. I got drunkards. I got people always reproaching everybody else, revilers. I've got extortioners. And they're all saved. What a wonderful thing it is to realize how Paul got people saved. I mean to tell you, I was talking to a pastor the other day, Brother John, and you know him, amen, but he told me he's just getting different people coming in. And he told me, he said, I feel like I'm pastoring a bowl of spaghetti, amen. Just, you know, he said, it just seemed like every. But when you realize the power of the gospel to reach out, what I'm trying to say is we can look at this and get discouraged. We can look at this and say, you know, it's all going the wrong way. Or we can look at what Paul did, and he got those people saved. Such were some of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That thrills me to realize that we still got power to reach out to the worst of sinners and reach them and get them saved to where they'll quit living that way. They'll be delivered, set free from those. You know, I remember years ago, a man called me. I'd worked with him and talked to him and prayed with him. Amen. And Brother David Horton come by and preached for me and walked back there and laid hands on him and said, I feel like praying for you. Amen. The next day he called me and said, when he prayed for me, that spirit left me. I love my wife. I love my children. Hallelujah. My dog, my child. Amen. He loved them. Amen. He went and got a good haircut. He stopped going down to the ladies' dress shop and buying his underclothes. Amen. You hear me? The power of the gospel is still real. We can still see people delivered from sin. I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, I wish I could somehow get in and just kind of watch how Paul worked. Wouldn't you? I'd like to do that. So if you don't mind, if you got your Bible, just turn over to the 17th chapter book of Acts and the 16th verse there. And I want you to look at something. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, he's waiting for Silas and Timothy, I think it was. And while he's waiting, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, full of idols is what it meant. They had 30,000 gods that they worshipped. I'm sure there's replicates, you know, and repeats, but they had 30, according to the writers, they had 30,000 gods that they worshipped. Amen. Man. And therefore disputed he on account of what he saw. He went into the church house first and disputed with the Jews and with devout persons and in the markets daily with them that met with him. Then certain of the philosophers and Epicureans and other Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preaches unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Well, the The Bible here said he disputed in the synagogue, and he talked to the devout persons. And then when he was working on tents, and somebody come and get a tent fixed, amen, they say, boy, you do a good job. Where'd you learn that? Well, I learned that, you know, I studied to be a rabbi, and you had to learn a trade, and I wanted to be a tent maker. Well, you sure do a good job. Are you that good a rabbi? I'm really a good one, I'll tell you for sure, because I met someone that had been risen from the dead. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And every time they turn around, and I got to think, well, what did he talk to them? What did he say, and how is it? And I turned over to the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, well, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. Listen to what I said. Amen. And he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so every time Paul had talked to them, they said, look, amen, they're Greeks, they didn't have no book like he had. But he said, you know, we got a holy book. It's written by God Almighty. He inspired our prophets to write it. We could say it, Brother Meekham said, amen, he also wrote a little bit of himself just so we know he knew how to write. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we can say that. But anyway, Paul would say now, amen, the Bible said Isaiah talked about him. Said he'd be virgin born. Isaiah was 700 years before Christ was born. And you see, in our holy book, it tells us that he declares the end from the beginning. God will do that. He said our holy book tells us that he says something and he causes it to come to pass. You don't have a book like that. No, you got all these idols here, but you don't have no book like that. Hallelujah. And so as he talked to them, he'd make those tents and he'd tell them those things. Man, they get to look at him, they like, man. And these Epicurean and Stoics come along, got to listen to him. They said, what will this babbler say? That word babbler, they tell me, is a Greek word that meant a seed picker, a bird, amen. They said he just hops around from one prophet. He said, this prophet said that. David prophesied of it 1,000 years before it. He's just a seed picker. Just seemed like we got to get him close down where we can really find out all about this. Amen. He keeps talking about this scripture and that scripture and that scripture. We don't know anything about that, but he stirred us up. We want to know what he's got to say. Great. Hallelujah. Great. Now, when I look at this, then I think, what he said was what the Scripture said. And how did he say it? Then I turned over to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and you know how that is right in there. This is how he said it. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellent speech or of wisdom, declaring the testament of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Hallelujah. Praise God. You take a man at school like he was, still feared that he's going to miss the mark, not really reach out and get those lost people. I'm telling you, that was quite a statement. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I didn't use the argument of the rabbis. I didn't just use altogether the Scripture. Amen. But I sought God, and God moved, amen, and by his power I reached out. They felt the Spirit of God, amen. And he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He didn't have nobody say, well, I got saved because I was baptized, amen. He didn't have anybody saying, I got saved because I joined the church. He didn't have anybody saying, I got saved because I started supporting the television ministry somewhere. Huh? Amen. He said, I got them saved by the power. That's how I got them saved, in the Spirit and the power of God. Well, where did that register at? Read it just a little more. I'm trying to get on over here, but let me just go over here. Amen. He said this. But the righteousness which of faith speaketh on this wise, say not of thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Where did I direct my attention? I directed it to that person, amen. I directed the heart of that person. I directed it in such a way, amen, by the Spirit and the power of God, they could feel a need to turn and live for Jesus. Now, I know the Bible said they have not all made the gospel, but Brother Paul could preach and have conviction fall, amen. He wasn't there to prove how much he quoted the Old Testament. He wasn't there to prove how much he quote anything else. He was there because he loved souls and he'd given his whole life just to reach out, amen. And for that reason, a homosexual wasn't safe around him, amen. Amen. And those that were being a school for it wasn't safe around him, amen. A drunkard wasn't safe, hallelujah, because they could get saved from Paul's preaching, amen. I wish I could help you. I'm talking to you this morning about how did he do it? What did he do? What did he do? He used the scripture. How did he do it? Amen. He sought God until God began to move in his soul and he won people to Christ. You remember, I mentioned yesterday Brother Dexter World. I don't know, you may not. There's a lot of things about Brother Dexter people didn't like. One thing, he could be pretty blunt, you know that. I've had him talk to me a few times. Charles, you could have done better. Well, I stood up trying to help you, you know. I appreciate that. But I watched him many times. I've had him preach for me. I remember one time he come down to Bransfield, Missouri, where I was just filling in, and I had him preach. He could quote the whole book of James. He knew a lot of scriptures. But when he'd get up, he'd preach on something like the rich man in hell or something like that. He'd stand and preach and cry. Amen, and talk to those people, and then he gave the altar call. Amen, and I saw him one day there at Bransfield, Missouri. Amen, he gave the altar call, and I watched my son, my backslidden son, and his wife. They didn't come to the altar, but they got down between the pews, and they started praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's not doing just everything I'd like for him to do as far as I'm concerned, but he's going to church and leading the singing, hallelujah, and he prayed through there because there was a soul winner that came to my pulpit, and he won the lost, hallelujah. Praise God. He had one thing in mind. I don't know that this, I believe it's true because he told me. He went different places. I have people tell me they'd send him like 200, 300 miles away. He'd go with no money hardly, but he'd go and win that worst one if he felt like going for him. He'd pray until he felt like he'd got him in his sights, amen. And he told me I'd try and pray all the way and say, God, if you don't save him, kill me, amen. If you're not going to get him saved, kill me. I don't want to fail. I'd rather die on the road over there, amen, let's not get him saved, amen. And he said, as far as I know, I've never went and talked to one person when I got prayed to about it that person didn't get saved. There must be a secret to soul winning somewhere. Huh? Now, I'm not preaching to you because I don't have a very good track record on this soul winning business. But I'm simply saying, Paul, amen, they said this little seed picker just going from one prophet to another, Isaiah, the psalmist David, Zechariah, Malachi, all those different places he'd quote from, amen. Let's get him, amen. The Bible said they took him and brought him. Is this all right? Yeah. They brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is, whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which are there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing. They tell me that you wasn't allowed to introduce a new god. Amen. I guess for 30,000 you wouldn't want any more. But you could, amen, bring a doctrine about one of them, and you could talk about one of them. You could discuss them, amen. So they said, this is a new thing, and they loved new insights. They loved that, and they said, we ought to hear this. And the Bible said, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Amen. I don't know how this is, but I can see Paul, and I said, "I've got a peer." Now, they tell me he appeared tonight. I don't know about that. I'm not here preaching on that. They tell me that he's alive or death. I don't know about that. But in my mind, I can see him going down, and he looked at this one God. He's a half horse, and the other half's man, you know. And this other God, he's half goat, and he's half man. And then this other God's half woman, half fish. And there he's got birds, and he's got beasts, and got different things. And he keeps looking, and pretty soon he comes to a slab of marble with nothing on it but a little fire and some incense burning. Amen. And it says to the unknown God, he said, right there, amen, 29,999, I'll take this one. I'll take the 30,000 with it. I'll talk to them about that, amen. He's the unknown God. Him, amen, you ignorant, you don't understand him. You admit yourself, you don't, you'd have a statue out there showing us what he looked like. But I'm going to tell you about him. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get a little view of how Paul approached this thing of winning people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Right. Wow. Now, you say, "Brother Charles, why are you interested?" Now, I don't know about writers. I don't know about writers at all, religious books. I remember years ago, I kind of knew a little something about writers. And I remember my son-in-law first started out, Brother Mike, and he knew so little I felt sorry for him, amen. But after a few years, I heard you and my son-in-law and everyone's discussing various writers, and I felt sorry for myself. I didn't know a thing in the world y'all was talking about, amen. But I was in Brother David Horton's study, and I reached out, just got hold of a little book and pulled it open, and this is where this guy's taking his text. And he gave somebody's interpretation. And he said, "I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." He said, "That's wrong in the Bible. It should be this. I perceive that you're somewhat religious." Well, I thought, well, I've got a Strong's here, and I've got a fair Greek lexicon. I'll see what it says. So I opened it up, and here's what it said. It said, this Greek word says, "You got a lot of fear, but hardly any trust." Amen. Praise the Lord. You got a lot of fear, but no trust hardly. That's what that word meant. I like that. I like that. That kind of gave me a springboard when I looked at that. And I thought how that took hold of their hearts. Amen. He said, "You got a lot of fear. You proved it. You got 30,000 reasons you got fear." Amen. You've proved that. But you don't have any trust. I want to tell you about this one that you don't know enough to trust. I want to tell you, first of all, he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God that I'm talking to you about. Amen. You see that spring up on the hillside, you Greeks, amen, flowing down through there? God made that. You see the trees and the flowers along the way? God made that, amen. Praise the Lord. You see the mountains? You see the sea? God made that. Hallelujah. He's all powerful. Amen. He's Lord of heaven. He's got all the stars in control. Amen. I'm telling you, amen. You know, you've got your God. One God does this. One God hurls thunderbolts. The other God makes clouds. And another God makes war. And another God makes peace. But the God I'm talking about, he's in control of everything that those gods are supposed to be doing, and more too. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my friend, I'm talking about what Paul did and how he did it and where it reached for. He reached for the hearts of mankind. He said, "You got this altar here. Amen. Look, the incense burning on it. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven that made everything." That's what I'm talking about. That's who I'm telling you about, the one you fear, but you don't really trust. Then he moves on. He not only is omnipotent, all-powerful. He said, "Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything." You know, you go down here, He's here now. I'm right here. I'm putting this God down here. That means he's here. He said he's not that way. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He sin, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Hallelujah. He's not only all powerful. Amen. But you see that man away up on the hill? Amen. Making that new idol. Amen. Probably copying another. He's swerking there, chipping that marble away. Look how he's breathing. Amen. Sweat running out of his mouth. Amen. It's that God that gives him the ability to breathe. Amen. It's that God that gives him the ability to take his hands and shape that. Amen. That's the God I'm talking about. Amen. He's not just down here at this place. He's not just there. He's somewhere else. Amen. He's a God that's everywhere. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember Brother Glenn Rice, pastor at Stroud, Oklahoma, told me about writing a song. I can't remember exactly what song it was. But the same day he wrote that song, and he got that song, got the tune. Amen. He said, the same day I wrote it, man in Maine, the state of Maine, all the way up in the northeast, amen, wrote the same song with the same tune. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And December something in 1906, whenever a person got up and sang a psalm there at the Azusa Street meeting, there was a man in there that could interpret it because it was his language, amen. And he said it's the highest poetic statements and inspiration, amen, to our language that he talked about it, amen. But at the same time that he said that, at the same day, at the same hour, down to Free Pentecostal Church, amen. Somebody got up and gave a message, sang a psalm in tongues, amen. And somebody got up and gave the interpretation. They didn't know what the language was. They didn't know anything about it. But it's the same thing. I'm telling you, he's omnipresent. Hallelujah. He can be giving you a shouting time here, and you can be shouting in Hawaii. You can be shouting in Russia. Because he's everywhere. God, amen. Paul declared, amen. Listen, he said he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hath made of one blood all nations, of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. This unknown God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a God. What a God. Amen. No wonder they couldn't put no idol up there. No wonder they couldn't put anything up representing him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because there's no God like me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, everywhere you go, it doesn't matter wherever you go. Amen. He's not only there. He's present there, and he knows what they need. Hallelujah. If it's a black race, if it's a yellow race, if it's a brown race, if it's a red race, amen. He set the bounds. He set the invitation. But he also set a time when he's going to bring them the gospel, because he declared that all nations are going to receive this glorious gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking to you about this man preaching on Mars Hill. Amen. Was his life at stake? I don't know if his life is at stake, but I'll tell you, some people listened to him, that their life was at stake. And it said the reason why he did that, they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He said, you made all these, but you have it in your writings that you're a descendant of the gods, amen. That you, the Greeks, are descendants of gods, amen. You said it, and you're right. You are a descendant of the God that I'm declaring to you, the unknown God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the God is like in gold or silver, stone or graven art and man's device. We ought not to think that way. You're reducing him down. You're making him too little, amen. At times of this ignorance, God winked at. I don't understand this, but it seemed like there was a time when God wouldn't impute wrongdoing to those people. I don't know about that. I'm just telling you. But here's what I'm getting to, is the fact that a time when he said, now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. because he hath appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given him assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. Amen. And somebody said, right back to that resurrection again. Amen. That's what he talked about at the tent shop. That's what he talked about in the synagogue. That's what he talked about everywhere he went. It's always the resurrection. And the Bible said, when they heard the resurrection, then some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men cleaved unto him and believed, among the which was, I don't know if I pronounce it, Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Brother, it may not seem like a big harvest, but he had a harvest. Praise the Lord. He still had a harvest. I'm telling you, my friend, this is not a day when we have to look around and say, we can't have a harvest. We can still have a harvest. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we just get to the place where we realize, amen, there's a God in heaven that anoints our preaching and gives us the ability to reach right down in the hearts of man and make them want to confess Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You have a fear, but you don't have a trust. You have a fear, but you don't have a trust. You know, when I think about that, the Bible said, I remember I quoted this to you before that in Hebrews, wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let's have grace whereby we serve God acceptably, reverence and godly fear. That word reverence, if I understand it right, means that we don't do anything morally that would be against what he wants. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Godly fear. Well, Brother Charles, don't you know that John said perfect love casteth out fear? He that feareth not made perfect in love. Yeah, that's the 18th verse there. What about the 17th verse? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It doesn't mean that Paul said, I was with you in fear, weakness, and trembling. Amen. Praise God. I was trying to get a hold of God. I needed help. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with a godly fear. I look at the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. I want to read it to you. I'm hoping that I'm not wearing you out, but I love this. I didn't have time to write a bunch of notes. I just got in it and got locked in it. And so I'm preaching it to you the same way. Amen. The Bible tells us in the 19th chapter book of Acts, God wrought certain special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into six handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then, amen. Somebody said, this is a money-making deal. Amen. Praise the Lord. They saw it as a money-making deal. Then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took on them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. Pretty important figure. Probably they were selling books, you know, telling you how to do it. Amen. You know, so you have your own little exorcist deal. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirits leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This is known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. Name of the Lord Jesus magnified. Listen, I want you to catch this. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Hallelujah. That was a fear that should be had. It was a godly fear. It made them want to lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so as easily beset them. Those that believed came, amen, confessed, showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious hearts, amen, brought their books together, burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It's all right to have a godly fear, amen. Nothing wrong with having a godly fear, my friend, because it'll make you straighten up and fly right. It'll make you do right. There's nothing wrong with that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you something. At the same time we have that fear, we need to have a trust in God that he will deliver us. Amen. That he will set us free. That he will give us victory over that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That helped the church, didn't it, huh? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I thought about Brother Glenn's preaching this morning, Brother Meekins preaching. Oh, man, I hope somebody, I got out and prayed. Sure, there's somebody here that needs help. because here I am. I'm down to this, my closing point, and that is the fact I perceive, amen, that you're all, and all things are too superstitious. Amen. There's some sitting here right now. You fear God, but you don't trust him. Amen. You fear him. You want him. You don't die lost. You don't go to hell. Amen. But you keep on kind of indulging in little things, doing things that you're not sure he's pleased with. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't feel like you can get along without it. I remember a man came to me when he was a young man, my wife's nephew. He'd done like a little boy, sat down on my lap, just surprised me. He'd been drinking. He sat down, put his arm around, and said, "Uncle, if I could live it like you can live it, I'd live just like you do." And I couldn't convince him that he did, amen, because he could. I couldn't convince him, but he could have if he turned it over to the Lord, amen. He's able, amen. The Bible tells us that he's able. Paul said, "You got a lot of fear, but you got no trust." And I remember talking to Bobby and tried to get him saved. Amen. He dropped dead suddenly. Amen. An alcoholic's grave. Amen. My brother, my son and I had to buy him a casket and help bury him. Amen. But oh my, the hours I spent working with him. I mean, working together. We worked together in a processing plant. The times I've been with him, the times I've tried to help him. I've failed in that. But oh, if he'd only turned to God, he'd have found out the same God that took the drink away from his uncle could take the drink from him. Hallelujah. But you see, we just get in our mind that we can't do it. We don't trust him. Oh, I wish somebody that, you know, there's an old song, "Come every soul by sinner press, there's mercy in the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word." Only trust him this morning. Amen. You've been fighting a battle. You think you're losing, but you're not losing. It's the devil lying to you and trying to cause you to go the other direction. Hey, I want to tell you, you can trust him. Amen. That fear that he put in your heart is there not to drive you into condemnation and send you to devil's hell. It's to give you victory over that sin and give you victory over that thing that's nagging at you and give you what you have to make heaven your home. Hallelujah. 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 I perceive you got too much fear and not enough trust. It's what's defeating you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I'll never forget the day he saved me. Hallelujah. If somebody come along and ask me, "Brother Joe," if they'd ask me, "Charles, can you quit drinking?" I'd say, "No, I can't. I guess not, because I lie to my wife. I tell her I'll be home and I don't come home. I tell her I'll be home at a certain time, even on her birthday, and I broke her heart. I didn't show up." Amen. Amen. There's some things kind of funny, you know, when we had an ice box. Amen. And I didn't order. She didn't know anything about drinking, and I didn't want her to know I was drinking. Amen. So I come in real nice, put the ice block of ice in the ice box. The only thing is, there's one side for the ice, and I set it on the other side on top of her cherry pie. She knew right away something was wrong. Amen. Didn't have to guess. She knew it right then. I'm telling you, amen. But when Jesus came, praise the Lord, when Jesus came, hallelujah, the night I prayed through, I forgot about can I quit. I forgot about the tobacco. I forgot about everything, amen. I just wanted free from that thing that's riding on my shoulders. And I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. When I got up, hallelujah, I never had to lie again. I never had to lie again. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, yes, it's right to fear him, but it's right to trust him as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone come to the piano. Let's have a song. Amen. I've done my best to preach to you, to try to tell you this morning that I feel like God laid on my heart. You're too superstitious. Amen. You got a real genuine fear and thank God for it, but you don't trust. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, God sent me here and sent this other dear brother here to tell you, amen, you can trust him. You can trust him. He'll see you through this. Amen. He'll give you victory from this day forward. You'll look back on this day and say, "I'm glad the old preacher got up preached. I'm glad that better preacher got up preached before him." Amen. It brought me to my knees. Helped me pray through about this situation and trust God for the very thing I need to help with. Amen. Let's sing a song, whatever it is, sister. Amen. Let's stand. I'm giving an altar call this time. I wish I had Brother Dexter World here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to see him stand up. You know what? Tears would be streaming down his face, and he'd be talking to you about the Lord. Amen. I've watched him different times. preached some little old simple message. Amen. He wasn't, you know, somebody said, great preaching, and they admire the preacher. Amen. Good preaching is when they admire the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I wish this morning I'd preach where you admire Jesus Christ and say, to think he'll give me deliverance. He'll set me free. He'll set me free. Amen. Sing if you would.